that I have been praying about this week. This, the tugging, the wooing, the pulling of the Spirit of God. You know what I'm talking about. That God speaks and talks and woos and pulls on the hearts of people by His Spirit. And no doubt there are many, even in our community, that are experiencing the same thing. When Jesus went away, He ascended into heaven. He said, I must go away. I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another comforter. The Spirit of God is going to come into this world. Most, you know, Jesus' earthly ministry was pretty much limited to Palestine in that region. And but He went away, and the Holy Spirit came into the world. The Holy Spirit came into the world and is not limited by any geographic location. The Holy Spirit is working and moving everywhere. We sing that chorus, all over the world, God's Spirit is moving. It's true. God is moving and God is speaking. If we could get the faith, the confidence to really believe what I'm talking about here, it could really make a difference in how we approach even coming to church. Because we would want to get in step with the work of the Spirit. We would want to align ourselves with what God is doing in the world and how He's drawing people and wooing people to Him. And to recognize that He does this work by His Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, here's Jesus speaking. John 16:5. But now I go my way that hath sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And I'll stop reading right there. The Holy Ghost came into the world, and the ministry of the Spirit is a broad, broad ministry to the church and to the world. But primarily, the Spirit of God was sent into the world to draw the lost to Christ, to bring the lost to Him. And so whenever we cooperate with the Spirit through prayer, through seeking the Lord and calling upon the Lord, then we become a place, a sanctuary where the Spirit of God has liberty to work and move, and the Spirit of God is working and drawing men and women to Him. Amen. So don't be surprised as we pray and seek the Lord. If you see even more faces, more people come in the door and wondering, who are they? Where did they come from? Well, in some cases, it is the work of the Spirit of God that is talking to them and drawing them and wooing them to Him. Now, it doesn't mean that they're all going to come to this location. They may not. But I do believe that as we, if there is a working and a moving of the Spirit of God, then they will come. Jesus comes, or the Spirit of God, rather, came into the world to reprove the world of sin. What does it mean? What does it mean to reprove the world of sin? Naturally, men think good of themselves. Most of the time, people in the world, their natural response is, I am a pretty good person. They have to be pretty wicked and evil to say, well, I'm a bad guy. Most people feel like that they're pretty good and that they have a certain level of morality and goodness about them. But when the Spirit of God comes and begins to talk to them and deal with them, then the Spirit of God awakens their senses to the realization they're not good. They are sinful and they need Jesus. They need a Savior. They're awakened to their need for God. They're convicted or convinced of their sinfulness. That's a work of the Holy Ghost. He says, when I come, I am going to reprove the world of sin. I am going to awaken them to their sinful condition. I'm going to cause them to see how far they are away from me. It's a frustrating thing, isn't it, to try to talk to someone about the Lord and you can see the blank stare on their face. I don't need that. I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need that. They are just going on living their life as if they would never need God. But the Holy Spirit at work begins to draw them and to stir them up and to awaken them to their sinful condition. The Spirit of God, that's why there's such a need for a revival. A revival is not confined to this building. Whenever God begins to move in real Holy Ghost revival, it's a working out throughout the region and the area. The Spirit of God begins to move here, and you can be sure that there will be people within our reach out here in this community and our region here that the Holy Ghost, not confined to this building, is dealing with them, speaking to them, and making them aware of their sinfulness. Amen. He comes into the world to reprove men of their sin and of righteousness. Amen. Because, see, men naturally think that they are good, but when they're reproved, then they begin to see that they are sinful and that their righteousness does not meet up to the standard of Christ. It doesn't measure up to who He is. They see what real righteousness is, and they begin to say, I need help. I need God. I need a Savior. I can't help myself. I can't live that. How many times have you heard people say that? I just can't live that life. And they're right. They can't live a righteous life, but it's only as they, by the Spirit of God, are convicted of their sin and made aware of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the only one that can cleanse us and purify us and make us righteous in His sight. Reproved of the world and of sin and of judgment. Conviction is threefold. It says here in the Gospel of John, it's threefold. It also makes people judgment conscious. They begin to realize, I am going to have to give an account of the way I'm living. I'm going to face a time when I will have to answer for what I'm doing. There are consequences to the way that I'm living or that I'm ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit conviction. The Holy Spirit sent into the world. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to send another comforter. He's going to come into the world. And when He comes, He's going to reprove the world of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's going to bring them to that place. So when we pray for our lost family, loved ones, pray for our community, pray for our neighborhoods, I urge you to pray for the lost. When you begin to pray for them, it's like the Spirit of God is drawing a circle around them. And they're not going to be able to get away from it. They are not going to be able to escape the voice of the Lord and the dealing of the Holy Spirit that has circled them. And God is going to begin working and talking to them and dealing with them and working upon their heart and their spirit and reminding them, I'm a sinner. Reminding them, Jesus is the only way to be righteous. And reminding them that they are going to have to answer for the sin of their life. That is Holy Spirit conviction. And that's why we pray for the lost. That we pray for them that that wonderful work of the Spirit of God will begin to work in them, convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment that is to come. You know, the Holy Spirit also awakens them and illuminates their mind. The Bible talks about the fact that the God of this world has blinded them, has darkened their mind. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They are blinded, they are darkened by their sinful condition. They can't help themselves. They can't do anything about the circumstance that they're in. They are spiritually blinded and cannot see where they're at. But God comes by His Spirit and turns the light on and begins to illuminate their minds, and they begin to see themselves for what they really are. And Satan's darkness then is pushed away and dispelled because they are able then to see, oh, I am lost. Oh, I need a Savior. And they have to first come to that place that they recognize their lostness and their need before they can truly be born again. Praise God. It is the Holy Ghost that woos them, that pulls at them, that draws them to Him. The drawing and pulling of the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God that does the work that we could never do. We can't convince people that they need the Lord. You can talk to them till you are wore out. It just does not work. You cannot physically or in your human ability convince men that they need God. But the Holy Ghost can. The Holy Ghost can penetrate the hardest heart. The Holy Ghost can penetrate the most darkened mind and cause them to see, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. And it's the Spirit of God that's at work in the world. He's at work in the world. He's at work in London, Kentucky. He's at work in Laurel County. He's at work in this region. Even though there are thousands of people that won't go to church, not interested in serving God, wanting to go their own way, they'd rather live a life to their own whim, their own preferences. Do what I want to do. But it is the Spirit of God that can awaken them, that can penetrate, can break through all of that, and help them to see their lost condition. Praise God. So what do we do? It's our responsibility to create an atmosphere right here at this place where the Spirit of God has free course and free liberty to work and to move. It's our responsibility to pray and to seek the Lord and to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. That every song, that every word, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is resting upon it. And as the Word of God goes forth and in the altar services, that the Spirit of God is controlling and anointing and moving, and we welcome Him to come. And we don't do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are sensitive to that. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure that this is a place where the Spirit of God has the liberty and the freedom to work as He chooses. Amen. Amen. The working of the Spirit of God. And then when someone walks in after the Spirit of God has pulled them into this place, that as the Spirit of God is working in this service, the tears will flow, and the Spirit of God will grip their heart, and they will respond to the voice of the Lord that is dealing with them and talking to them. Oh, we covet that. We desperately need that. I'm praying every day, Lord, we need a new, fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest upon us, every one of us, in every ministry, in every Sunday school class, and everything we are attempting to do, that it will be this wonderful, fresh anointing of the Spirit of God that will rest upon us. And when he comes and when he anoints, that he takes our feeble efforts and he energizes it. He empowers it to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Amen. The enemy is the one that wants to come and try to steal and to hinder, and he does. The enemy comes to church and he tries to hinder what God is wanting to accomplish. But if our focus, our attention is upon the fact that God's working and God wants to do some things and he wants to touch and change lives, if our mentality is not, I go to church because I want to get something out of it, although you do and you will, but if you come to church realizing the Holy Ghost is working and I want to work with him. Amen. The Holy Ghost is speaking and I want to cooperate with him. I want to allow him to accomplish what he's wanting to accomplish. All of us as a body, whenever we see the Spirit of God at work, then let's respond to that. Let's pray. If you see me up here sputtering around and can't think what I need to say and what's going to happen next, well, don't laugh at me. Don't make fun of me. Pray. Pray. Ask the Lord to help, because the enemy, he wants to hinder and he wants to stop the work of the Holy Ghost. But it is God's plan to work in the lives of people, amen, that find their way into the house of the Lord. Amen. I know the Spirit of God can draw people in, and he can use you too to be a voice. Sometimes it's not even an invitation to church. Sometimes it's just a word of kindness or an act of kindness that you're used of God to reach out to somebody in Jesus' name, doing it in the name of the Lord. And you do, when you do, then they recognize that that man or that woman, that person is a representative of Jesus Christ. They recognize the hand of God that's upon your life, and they'll want what you have. They'll want the same experience that the Lord has given to you. So we, as a body, we can create an atmosphere where people can receive help, where people can be healed, people can be touched, people can be saved. Praise God. And so we welcome him to be here, to be in control. And we want the Spirit of God. We want to be so saturated with the working and the moving of the Spirit of God that the lost that come into this place, they will find it as they will find this place to be a place like a healing place, a place where they are soothed from all of the troubles of sin. The way of a transgressor is hard. People's lives are hard in their sin. They're going through hardship and sorrow and trouble and bondages. And so they make it to the house of the Lord, and they don't need to be looked down upon. They don't need to be judged for what they are. They need to be loved, and this place needs to be an atmosphere where they can find help and healing. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. So we seek the Lord and we pray all week long so that when we come in here on Sunday morning, the mission of the Holy Ghost can be accomplished. Because we're on board. We're on board. We want to see his work accomplished in this place. And we want to be used of the Lord to see that happen. Amen. The pull of the Holy Ghost. The wooing of the Spirit of God. I've known of people that go on for weeks, months, and the Spirit of God is tapping them on the shoulder, whispering in their ear, dealing with their heart. Sometimes they get angry when they get under conviction. Sometimes they get downright mean when they get under conviction. Other times they get weepy and they're just they don't know hardly how to respond to the working and the moving of the Spirit of God upon them. But just understand, if you're praying and the church is praying for your friends and your loved ones, and you see that going on in them, you can be sure that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. And He's working on them. And it might be weeks and months of time, a process of time. Amen. But God's still working and moving. Praise the Lord. This lady that I mentioned that came in Sunday morning that said, I felt a strong pull to First Pentecostal Church. The last time she was here was in August when the Boggs family was here, months ago. And then, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know that there was any other reminder or any invitation to come. It was the Holy Ghost that spoke to her or pulled at her heart and said, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. And I've been able to speak to her since Sunday. And she assured me that she would be back here in the service. Charles Finney called this the great pressure of the Holy Spirit. The great pressure of the Holy Spirit. That we would like to pressure people into doing what's right, into being in church and serving God. And all we do is we just make them mad. We drive them away. Well, they're the worst for it. But the Holy Ghost puts pressure on them in ways that we cannot. The Holy Spirit of God puts pressure. Finney called it Holy Spirit pressure. He says the weightiness of the Spirit that weighs upon them and causes them to sense the urgency of the hour. Glory to God. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that work. And He can do it. He can do it. If we'll pray, if we'll fast, if we'll call upon the name of the Lord, God will move in this way. Amen. We need to believe God to do the impossible, because some of you have put, you've written over the top of some of your needs and some of your people you're praying for, you've put the word impossible there, because the enemy has convinced you it can't be done. It won't be done. There's no hope. There's no way this could ever be changed. So I've been thinking about hard cases and hard situations. And I've been thinking about that as I've been here praying around the church. And thinking about, Lord, if that happened, that would just be something. That would just be unbelievable. That would just be amazing if that happened. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So as we're praying together, believing God to move by His Spirit, there's no limitation to the work of the Spirit. There's no limitation to what He can do, how He can turn things around, how He can change hearts, how He can work miracles and bring deliverance. Hallelujah. There's no limitation to what He can do. Amen. Now, before Pentecost, those disciples were pretty pitiful. I mean, they were pretty weak, pretty wimpy. They had no power. They didn't have qualifications at all to do the work or the call that Jesus was calling them to do. Peter was at the top of the list of those disciples being disciple failure number one. He had messed up bad, denied the Lord, cursed. He had messed up so bad, but it was Peter, chosen of the Lord, to stand up on the day of Pentecost. What made the difference? There's only one answer. It was the Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost. And Peter stood up that day. There was power and authority in his message, power and authority in what he said. He was no longer the weakling. He was no longer the person that was afraid to identify with Jesus Christ. He stood up on the day of Pentecost. And after he preached that message there in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when they all heard this, they were pricked in their heart, stabbed. The Holy Ghost stabbed them in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, before that time, this religious crowd, they knew what they thought was right. They knew what to do. We know what to do. We've got all the answers. But now, Holy Ghost conviction has stabbed them in the heart. And now they're saying, we don't know what to do. What do we do next? And that's when he was able to say, you need to repent. You need to repent. And that's exactly what happened. Glory to God. Glory to God. Holy Ghost conviction transformed that group of weak, wimpy disciples into powerful world changers. Glory to God. Turn the world upside down. Amen. Holy Ghost conviction can do some mighty things. Acts chapter 7, after Stephen's message, they stoned him to death. And it says in Acts 7 and 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid to their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now that was the game changer that day for Saul. That was the day that everything changed for him. Before that, he's a religious zealot. Before that, he's just wanting to do what he thought was right for a good religious Jew. He wanted to do the right thing in destroying this Christian message and destroying the church. And it says that Saul, chapter 9, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to synagogue, to the synagogue, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see, from the day that he had that encounter and he saw Stephen lay down his life as a martyr and all of those coats were laid at his feet, Saul was changed. I believe from that day forward, he was plagued with this Holy Ghost pressure that was on him. One of the places, I think it was when he was giving his testimony to Agrippa, he talked about, I was going into foreign cities. I was going everywhere. I was like a madman running everywhere trying to destroy the church. That's what Paul was doing. He'd really lost his mind. He was so under conviction, so overwhelmed. How do I know this? Well, because now he has this encounter on the road to Damascus, and the Lord says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What was going on? Well, that prick was that prod that they would use for animals to say, get moving. Go the right direction. No, don't go that way. Go this way. And it's painful, and the animals hated to be pricked and prodded. And so that's what Saul was doing. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He was kicking against the voice of the Lord that was telling him, wake up, wake up. This is true. This is the message of Jesus Christ. And he finally woke up on the road to Damascus. The Spirit of God woke him up. And after 3 days being blinded, he was transformed. Turned around so dramatically that he became the most powerful apostle, the greatest proponent of the gospel of Jesus Christ that ever lived. Glory to God. How did it happen? The Holy Spirit convicting him, bringing him to that place that finally, I'm telling you, that was a hard, hard case. That was a hard case. But no one and no situation is too hard for the Lord. Amen. One more verse, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Thank God that God is dealing with men. I know that this day and the door of grace is going to close. I don't know how soon, but likely very soon. But right now, the Spirit of God is striving with men. My spirit shall not always strive with men. He is striving. He is dealing. He is pulling. He is He is wooing men to him. Amen. And let's cooperate with that. Amen. Let's cooperate with the working of the Spirit of God. Thank you for those of you that are praying and seeking God this week. Please, these next days as we move into the weekend, let's call upon the Lord and believe that when you pray for your unsaved friends and family, neighbors, loved ones, when you call their name, that God, by His Spirit, is drawing a circle around them, and He is getting right in the middle of that circle, and He's talking to them and dealing with them and working upon their hearts. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're working by your Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you for that. God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. And we know, Lord, that you're at work in these last days. You're at work in London, Kentucky, in Laurel County. You're at work, Lord, in our community, in our neighborhoods, on our streets. You are at work, Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to draw them in to the kingdom. Draw them into your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Pray for folks. Invite folks to church Sunday.